Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm Diana Mauer, and I will be moderating this session, where we will be refereeing the madness that is Neil Simon's Laughter on the 23rd Floor, being presented by Mauer Productions On Stage at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. Inspired by Mr. Simon's early career experience as a comedy writer for Your Show of Shows, the play focuses on Max Prince, the star of a weekly comedy variety show circa 1953, and his staff including Simon's alter ego, Lucas Brickman, who maintains a running commentary on the writing, fighting, and wacky antics which take place in the writer's room. At the plot's core is Max's ongoing battles with NBC executives who fear his humor has become too sophisticated for television's ever-growing market in Middle America. The characters in the play are based on Neil Simon's co-writers on Your Show of Shows, including comedy legends Sid Caesar, Jackie Gleason, Larry Gelbart, Carl Reiner, and Mel Brooks. With me today to talk about the onstage production is director John Mauer, and actors Mark Swift, who plays Lucas, Michael Gonzalez, who plays Milt, Joe Zedney, who plays Val, Brett Malotsky, who plays Brian, Casey Woods, who plays Kenny, Alana Caraccio, who plays Carol, Joseph Perignat, who plays Max, Nicole Spadafino, who plays Helen, John Pinto, who plays Ira. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here.
Hello,
hey.
John, as a director of this production and artistic director of Onstage, what drew you to the show?
Oh, I always loved Neil Simon's work. We've already done several Neil Simon shows, and this is one that I'd always wanted to do. I love comedy, and I thought, well, if I could get the right group of actors, and I think I have them here. Speak up, guys.
You better believe
we'll
it.
See.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Like immediately. Yeah.
That I thought that we could pull it off and do a good job of it, and it's really turning out nice.
Good. And what were the challenges of putting the show together?
Well, getting a group of people who can come in and be a group of Jewish writers in a comedy show.
We're still looking.
You may get it right soon.
There's a certain style to this show because it's written for the, it's written about the 1953. And in 1953, there was a certain style, the way you did comedy. And a lot of it came out of vaudeville, it came out of the Borscht Belt, it came out of the Catskills. And you had to have that sort of timing to make this thing work. And I was very lucky. We had a lot of good people come out, some of which are in this room.
Thank you.
Not all. And some of which are not.
Sounds like an accusation.
That was the biggest challenge, was getting the right people. And I know we had the right people here.
So, Joe.
Yes?
What made you decide to come out for this show?
Well, this I'm not necessarily an overall Neil Simon fan, but I love the show. This show for me is absolutely hysterical, and I did get an opportunity to play the role once before, and I just loved it. And I also saw an opportunity to play it a lot differently this time around than the way I played it the first time. So I really wanted to take advantage of that, and I'm delighted to be working with John because I think John brings a whole brand new, fresh look to the role of Max, but also to the entire production as well. So that's been a lot of fun. But again, Neil Simon, this particular play, I absolutely love it, and I love the character.
Alana, you're one of two women in this show.
I think so. Am I correct, guys?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yes, you guys all the women
guys,
came in, so. Right? Okay.
What about me? I'm a woman.
She said one of two.
I said one of two. I said one of two.
But
he said you come the closest to being a woman. All right.
Maybe he's right.
The question is, how did you feel, or how do you feel working with such a large group of men? And is it a challenge to try to keep up with the humor, or do you feel like you're really comfortable and you really found your way through this?
Do you hear them all snickering in the background? Good, okay.
It was the word large.
Thank you, Brian. Actually, I was amazed to find that there is a great deal of talent, as Joe said. And I really don't think that they looked on me any differently than just another actor in the play. John certainly as director did not, and it was somewhat challenging for me. I'm also the type of an actress that usually gets the tougher woman roles as opposed to the sweet little angelic honey. And so Carol was in there, and it was good.
I'm going to put this out to the first person who answers. How's the rehearsal process been for everybody?
Excellent.
Good. It's been great. Well,
yeah. Now, it's short and sweet.
They're very well run. We start on time, get down to business, which I like. And
the bagels and cream cheese are fantastic every single time.
it shows a lot of organization, which makes it easy for us because we all have other lives that we have to fulfill. So John has done a wonderful job of the scheduling and keeping everything moving along.
The one thing about this show and putting it together, and what's great about the way the cast has come together for this show, is that you can do this show and you can just do the jokes. There are jokes written into the show. It's a comedy. But then there's so many other opportunities for humor in and around there that you can take and you can go overboard or you can make it just right. And everyone in this cast has contributed their ideas for either their character or other characters to say, oh, it would really be great if we could do this, or it would be great if we do that. Or they'll just spring it on me, and if I like it, I'll laugh and say, keep it. But it's been a very collaborative process. Yes, I have the helm and I have a direction that we're going in, but every time someone's made a suggestion, we've looked at it, and if it worked, it went in, and I would take credit for it.
That's just being a good director.
Yes. Yes.
Characters, does anybody found anything particularly challenging about your characters?
Well, one of the things that I said to John when I first got the phone call about being cast as Brian was, great job, John. You cast the middle-aged Jew as the Irish Catholic. So after thinking about it for a few minutes, I said, okay, this is a great challenge for me as an actor, if I can bring it off, that I'm playing something sort of diametrically opposed to my sort of upbringing in nature. So.
Yeah, we had several lessons on how to cross yourself on stage.
Yeah.
Still
learning.
Yeah. For me, I have once before played a Russian in a show before, so I have had experience, but this has been challenging in the sense that this is a Neil Simon comedy and everything is very fast paced. So I figured, oh, well, I've done it before, so I'll just relay it back and harken back to my experience doing it, and I'll be able to get the character down, think about the certain letters I have certain emphasis on. But then when I started talking, and as rehearsals went on, I started realizing this is going to be a little more challenging than I expected because it's very fast paced, and when I did it before, it was in a drama type show, so you can kind of take your time with it a little bit. At least the pace was a little bit slower. But here it's been much more challenging in that regard, having to think about the accent, think about his background, and play off the other characters as well as the timing, which obviously in a comedy you've got to have that timing. So there's like about three or four different variables that I got to pertain into putting this all together, and I have to get to the point where it's become subconscious, so I'm not thinking about it and just be that person,
right,
and not think about all that other
stuff. And you're the only one I don't want to say with an accent, because everybody brings their own
right
person into this, but you're the only one with like a foreign accent, I guess. So you're not like a
right.
New York or a Jersey guy or whatever. You're
right. He's a Val Slotsky is a Russian immigrant, so
right.
he's the head writer, senior writer. He's kind of the one that's not very laid back. He's kind of very
high strung.
Thank you. Yeah. out of the group. So he tries to be precise. Tries to get everybody together and meet the deadlines and get things on time, but somehow they just never seem to go that smoothly each and every day.
Yeah. So. I play Iris Stone, and it's a lot of broad comedy, and the challenge is to keep it believable and not go overboard, and just keep the person you know, as central. And so it's not all about slapstick. It's about a, well, an interesting individual, which is based on Mel Brooks and some insight onto his how his poor wife must have felt dealing with him.
Did you ever feel a little intimidated by playing such a well-known actor?
I try not to think of the actor at all. I just try to do my own interpretation because I find I haven't watched any Mel Brooks since I got the role, and I don't want to try to imitate. So in some ways, I may be even better.
That's such an Ira thing.
Michael, your character in the opening of the show has a lot of rapid-fire one-liners that are constant. And how does it feel to play a character with such rapid-fire zings constantly?
It's a lot of fun for me, actually. I feel a deep connection with Milt because when I was in school, I was always the one doing imitations of the teacher and making quick comments and trying to get my friends to laugh and that sort of thing. So I relate to his sensibility of just throwing lines out there and being sarcastic and just trying to get people to laugh. So it's a lot of fun. And, of course, I've got the best dialogue in the world to work with.
Yes, Neil Simon is very prolific in his writing. Mark.
Yes, I answer to that as well.
Good. You play Lucas, who was based on Neil Simon.
Yes.
Did you feel any challenges with that role?
One of the central challenge that I came across while trying to play Lucas, or portray Lucas rather, was the drastic change that I feel is supposed to show between him being kind of timid and, you know, almost real antsy and on the edge because he's a new guy and he wants to keep his job. In the beginning, in the first act, to a big transition where he's more relaxed and he feels like he's in his place in the second act. And I tried, the biggest challenge there was just trying to really emphasize the evolution of Lucas, really.
The evolution of Lucas. Yes. Sounds like a book. Casey, you play Kenny.
Sure.
The voice of reason among the madness. What challenges have you felt that you overcame to portray this character?
I don't feel like I overcame very much, but I could say that I am jealous that everybody else gets all the laughs.
You're funny. Your character's great.
Fingers? Yeah, once in a while. But it's interesting because he is kind of like, he's supposed to be one of the younger guys, but everybody sort of looks to him for answers, even though Val is the head writer and Max is really, you know, the guy in charge. Everybody kind of looks to Kenny to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, Kenny, I think, is the most sane of the writers.
The voice of reason.
Which isn't saying very much.
He's the guy that brings always reason and logic and reality back to the situation.
He also seems to understand Max the best.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of interesting to have all of that going on. And also trying to be funny when I have the chance. Because, I mean, it's based on Larry Gelbart, and he was a great, great writer and very funny. So, yeah, I mean, obviously he was a funny guy, but he's also kind of the only adult in the room sometimes, which is weird.
I feel like the characters of Kenny and Lucas, you know, they really drive the show because there's a lot of exposition. They explain a lot what's going on, and you really have to pay attention to what they say and things they're saying. They both get really good funny lines in there every now and then, but
luckily we both demand that respect. People will listen to us.
Yep.
The two youngest characters in the show, basically.
And the rest of us are chopped liver.
Yeah, we haven't grown up. We haven't grown up into kids yet.
Yep.
Nicole.
Hi, I am in the show. Yes,
yes you are. We don't see you a lot in the first act. However, we do see you much more in the second.
I do try to make my entrances and exits memorable. I think the challenge for me for this show, I mean, is that I came into the rehearsal process a lot later than everyone else. And I got to see all of my fellow castmates really, you know, you know, off book, on their lines, and see how the dynamic and the relationships were forming. It gave me a lot of inspiration. I think everybody's very talented, and you know, a little intimidation at first, but once I got on stage, and you know, John's very easy to work with, where you know, you can just give whatever, and you know, he'll be like, "That's great, keep it," or "No, no, not so much." You know, you're playing her too smart, because I do play someone who's kind of, you know, has a few marbles missing up there. But you know, it was very hard for me to play someone who's kind of airheady, because I'm very intelligent. So it wasn't.
Sorry.
What was that ring ding?
It's hard. You know, this is not something I'm typecast for. So I had to do. Shush! All right, that's it. I take back everything I just said about all of them. But no, it's been really fun playing Helen. So I'm really used to the name now, because I played Helen in the last Hollywood Arms. So I'm really used to responding to Helen. So,
and what's great about when we were working with Nicole, because she only did walk-ons for the first act, we didn't want her to sit here the whole time so she could walk on, say a line, and walk off. So we had a series of rehearsals to get the act up and running, and then she came in later. And she came in, saw what was going on, and then started adding little bits to go along with it. Helen can be a very funny character. There's nothing really written specifically for her until the second act that has humor based in it. But, you know, like in saying before, you play more than the joke. So we're putting in a lot of little things that make Helen's entrances, exits, and lines even funnier than they were originally. Or
and
hopefully.
And to help me stick around, because if I'm bored, forget it. I'm done here. No.
Brett, you play Brian.
Yes.
Your character is a Irish Catholic in this world of crazy people. What did you bring to this to the show that you feel was unique to you?
Well, we talked earlier about you know, the challenge of my differing background, but I think what Brian is about is about getting out. Brian is looking for the next thing, what's going to make him rich and famous, and the writer on which the character is based went on to write Hello, Dolly and a couple other very big Broadway comedy successes and some screenplays, and he went Hollywood. So I look at Brian as the guy who sees the Max Prince show as a stepping stone to the next thing. So Brian has one foot out the door from the time the curtain rises, and his interactions with his fellow writers are amicable, but he's also, I think, a little bit looks down on the whole situation. So one of the things that I brought to it was a kind of sense of, all right, you know, they're all having their fun, and I sort of toss in, Brian sort of tosses in a one-liner here and there, but really his issue is with being shown the respect that he feels he deserves for the work that he's doing. And his nemesis in the play is Ira, who is the exact opposite. Doesn't come to work, doesn't do anything. All he does is disrupt and get in the way of Brian's being able to get his work out there and get out. And I think that dynamic is one of the things that I found to be most rewarding in the show, is playing off of Ira.
And it's fun. We've managed to, I think, build a great relationship on stage. Yeah, I didn't call it that.
Yeah,
it's kind of toxic. But yeah. It's great.
What's fantastic about it is that we really could end up like killing each other on stage. It's that good, and you know, we laugh about it off stage, but it works so well because of that.
Joe, you play Max Prince, the king of television, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme.
Well, you know, the character is based on a little bit of Jackie Gleason and a little bit of Sid Caesar. And what I found fascinating about the character is that he is probably an alcoholic. He's probably a drug abuser. He's probably psychotic. And he's probably a manic depressive.
And this is a Neil Simon play.
And this is a Neil Simon play.
So it wasn't a stretch.
And no, it's not a stretch. And so, but they happen at a variety of different times. I think one of the things that I struggle with is, I think he also has a very soft spot in his heart for Carol. And to try and really bring that slight thread in at various moments when he interacts with Carol is, for me, a great big challenge, to try and deviate away from that whole craziness of his character to that somewhat very sensitive feeling that he has for Carol, and ultimately for the entire cast. And I think also for the two women, I think he has a lot of sensitivity for both.
Yeah, I'll agree. It's very hard to like Carol. I find that very challenging as well.
So for the actor to try and do those things, I find it's a lot of fun to try and achieve that, but that's the challenge, I think.
Yeah, because Max has put together a very diverse group of people. There's a female writer, which was unheard of in 1953.
Exactly.
There are Jewish people, there's an Irish Catholic, there's an immigrant Russian, there's
right.
this huge variety of cultures that are mixing up in this room, setting tables on fire, and yet it seems to have worked.
Because he understands that he selected a great group of writers. He understands the genius in all of them. And I think that while he's gruff and rough with them, I think he genuinely appreciates it and understands it and really is reluctant to lose that because he knows that when that happens, the whole thing's going to go to pot.
Yeah, and I just want to insert one thing. In actuality, Carol is based on a real person. There was one, for both of Sid Caesar's show, there was one female writer for the woman's point of view on both shows. The first one was a woman called Lillian Callan. The second one was a stand-up comic on her own, Selma Diamond. And this is the character of Selma Diamond, who is a very rough sort of, and I think that Carol has softer edges than Selma Diamond does. Yeah, she cares for her fellow men.
Yeah. Yeah, Carol's kind of the mama of, I think in a lot of ways, she's the mama of the group. And she kind of tries to bring them into, I think, some of the morality issues of the things that are going on. So I think I see Carol, yes, I agree. I think Carol's a softer than like a Selma Diamond character.
Before we wrap this up, John, what are the next shows coming up for on stage?
Well, our last show of the season is going to be Drowsy Chaperone. And that show goes up in June, and auditions are the end of February. And we're looking forward to have a good time with that.
And people can find information about auditions on www.mponstage.com, is that right?
That is correct. Thank you, Di.
You're welcome.
What a great dynamic you two have.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Can I make noise now?
You always make noise.
Wait. Oh, sorry.
Hold on. Performances of Laughter on the 23rd Floor will be at the Kelsey Theater on West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on January 27th and run through February 5th. Tickets are $16 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to www.kelsey@mcc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations and say hi to Margie. I want to thank my guests for speaking with us today.
Thank you,
Di.
For Backstage Pass, I'm Diana Maurer. Thanks for listening.